from the great state of Kentucky, Carl Kirby. That said that for my wife and the few other Kentuckians in here. But we have with us our dear friend, Carl Kirby. Carl was here in 2011, did a conference, that was shortly after he started the ministry along with others of Reasons for Hope. The purpose of beginning that ministry, because there's many out there, Answers in Genesis and others do a great job with apologetics, but one driving passion, and I appreciate this so very much, is to take this and get it into the hands and minds of young people and adults wherever God might lead. And because of the mobility and the team, there are a number of other speakers that are involved with this. You can read more about them online. But they have had a huge impact. And I pray that God will not only continue that impact elsewhere, but use Carl and the team here today. With Carl, today is Masami. I believe she's out with the resource table. And then Dave Drake, who you might have seen as you came in with the debunked bus outside. You need to stop by that resource table, look at the resources, and you need to go check out the bus for a couple reasons. One, find out what in the world is this bus all about, right? Why in the world did they have a debunked bus? And then take a little time behind the bus and watch some of the videos, the debunked videos, and you'll want to know more about that. So this morning we have with us a very dear friend, brother in Christ, and one who has made a big impact on us in the past and on my own life. Great encouragement. If you spend 2 minutes with him, you're going to be encouraged. And that's our brother Carl Kirby. So Carl, come and share with us this morning. Let's welcome him. And Carl's like, get done. I want my time.
I had, this is kind of like the way our government works, right? I ceded 10 minutes of my time from the previous one, so. I had some comments. I guess one young man took exception with truth that I didn't go through subjective and objective truth, which is a reality. And so I would. If you would really like an article on that, I've got a great article on subjective and objective truth and how even what I'm talking about today with God is objective truth. And if you're interested, I'll give you that link to that article. I found something interesting as well as Pastor Chris was reading scripture. And it was Ephesians 5:15, see that you walk carefully. The reason that that jumped out to me, I did a study on this a long time ago. And those of you that have already heard me speak, you know it's kind of different. The way this thing works, and what was different was the picture that came to my mind when it came to and King James is circumspectly and carefully, literally is what it means, is when I was in Korea. Over in Korea, they build these walls around houses, and on the top of the walls, they put broken glass and they embed it into the concrete, so that it restricts people from crawling over the top of the wall. Imagine a cat walking down that wall with the shards of glass in it. They walk carefully, circumspectly. And that's the verse where he did that. That's free. I'm not going to charge you anything extra for that. That was just the way this thing works sometimes. Our website is rforh.com. If we can help you, please. You can sign up in our newsletter out there as well. If you'd like to do that, I've got an iPad, and that keeps me from having to try to read your handwriting. Dude, I used to pass cards and stuff like that. Forget about it. But we gave you guys cards as well. So if you want to fill that out, it just asks you for that. If you rip that, there's a little tear-off. It was in your bulletin. You can tear it off and put it in the box. I'd ask you to do the iPad. But anyway, that way I can read it. Take advantage of that. Today, I am really, really sincere. Oh, Joe Boone. I got to say hi to you guys from Joe Boone. I talked with Joe yesterday. Just said, hey, Joe, back in your old stomping grounds. Because Joe is where I met him here in the old sanctuary years ago, and Joe and Brenda were dear friends, and it's so good, so amazing to see what God has done with him. I talked to him yesterday, and he said to make sure I tell you all hi. So there you go. That doesn't count towards my time. So, hey, I've been blessed. Travel a lot. 193 days this year is what it looks like I'm going to be on the road. 193, 196, something like that. And I get to go to some really neat places to do ministry, and one of those neat places is Molokai, Hawaii. It's ministry. But it's cool ministry. I'm not going to lie to you. It really is. The first time I went to Molokai, it was kind of interesting. I'd set everything up, and the worship team was behind me, and they were setting everything up, and they started to practice. So I walked outside, while they were practicing. And when I walked outside, I took this picture. And I went back in, and my assistant was with me with her husband and my wife, and I showed this picture to them. And my assistant immediately looked at that picture, and she said, "What a great picture of the cross." Oh, yeah. I'm being honest with you when I tell you that I didn't see the cross when I took the picture. I wish I was more spiritual. I missed it. I was focusing on the rainbow. I was like, the rainbow is so amazing. And what I say to you guys is that sometimes things can be right there in front of us and we miss them. At least I do. That same year, I got to go to Saskatoon, Canada. You ever hear of Saskatoon, Canada? No? Me neither. But when I got there, it was great ministry. But the amazing thing was is that when I got back, I'm watching the news, and it was probably 2-3 weeks after I got back from Saskatoon, there's a police car chase in the news in Saskatoon, Canada. Did you guys catch it? No? I got it on TV. I recorded it. You got to watch this. Police car chase, Saskatoon, Canada. You guys didn't catch that on the news? Hey, that was big news in Saskatoon. Well, no, the truth be told, that's actually a Canadian Midas tire commercial. But, there's a point. Think about it. Police officer's job, which they need our prayers. Thank you for the ministry that you've started with the firemen. Our son-in-law is a fire medic, and so to have the church coming in and loving on them and doing that, boy, these are folks that need it. They're dealing with nasty day in and day out, so pray for them. But job is straightforward, quite frankly, right? Protect and serve. Bad guy, when they're stuck 6 foot in front of you, I mean, that's an easy day at the office. You're under arrest, right? He's pushing his car. But he didn't do that, did he? He got out and he pushed his car. So here's my point. Things can be right there in front of us and we can miss them. Or things can be really easy and we make them hard. And so that's what I'm going to address today when I address this issue of whose voice are we listening to? Now, do any of you know what I'm alluding to with my little voice icon? Anybody in here watch this program other than me? Anybody? Anybody? 5, 6, 7 hands? Man, I am failing miserably today. Come on, be honest. Who's seen the TV show The Voice? All right? Thank you. I knew it was more. Unbelievable. A good Christian people watching that show was just... I like the show. Not going to lie. For those of you that haven't seen it, it's a singing show, okay? And I like good singing. I just don't do good singing. You know, when y'all are singing, you might be looking, he's not singing. I don't sing. Because God says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I make a painful noise unto the Lord. And this thing is hot. And if by mistake it goes on while I'm singing, trust me. You're out of here, man. So I'm not risking it. If I do look like I'm singing, I'm actually lip syncing. I'm like doing the... And the word that I was told to do is watermelon. Watermelon. Watermelon, yep. And that supposedly looks like it blends in with anything. But this is a singing show. And so here's the way that it works. When it first starts, you've got 4 judges that are popular in the culture. You know, the season that I'm talking about, these were the 4 judges. And they're popular in the culture. It's not a Christian program, full disclosure. Okay. It's a singing show. And so these 4 judges, to start off, they have their backs turned to the stage. And then singers come out and sing. And the judge decides to turn around and try to get them on their team or not, based solely on their voice. Now, I like that because we live in such a superficial world. I mean, we have so much emphasis put on outside and the way people look and all that stuff. And, you know, God doesn't care about that. Amen. Look, and by the way, church, we put such an emphasis on that. You got to look a certain way. And let me put it to you like this. If you want to change outside, get the inside. If you really want to change the outside, get the inside. Because once you get the heart, all that exterior stuff starts to fall into place. But if somebody just looks good on the outside and they're dead on the inside, it's worthless, okay? Let's just be honest about it. We got a lot of people that can sit in a church pew and they don't know Christ, all right? And we don't need that. We want real. So they turn around for people based on their ability to sing. I like that. And then they get them on their team. And then it's all like voting, you know. You got to get people to vote on you. So I put it to you like this. Song choice, to me, is probably just as important as voice quality. You can have a great voice, but if you choose a bad song, see ya. So now get this in your mind. I don't know how many they start off with. It's a lot of singers. And then they get down to the final eight. Now, final eight, by that stage, everybody's got a great voice, really. And now you got to get people to vote on you to go through the final four. And this year, this episode that I'm going to show you a piece of, gentlemen came out with a very interesting song choice. Non-Christian program. Take a listen to the song that he chose to sing to get people to vote on him to put him through to the final four.
On a hill far away, should an old rugged cross, the emblem of our suffering and shame. How I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I will change.
So what do you think? Did it take some guts to go on this secular program, knowing you got to get people to vote on you to go out and sing the old rugged cross? It take some guts?
Wow.
Took some guts. But this isn't the voice that I'm talking about. I'm talking about a different voice. So let's jump into the Word. John 10:22. And I'm going to do this quickly, so I'll do the CKV this morning. That's Carl Kirby version, because I'm going to kind of rip through here. At that time, the Feast of the Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly." I'm going to say to you this morning that I don't think anybody spoke more plainly than Jesus. He was straightforward. Did he speak in allegory and use poetry? Yes, but it's very clear where he did that. He spoke plainly, and I will say to you that he had already spoken to them plainly on this issue. Because watch, Jesus answered them, "I told you." I see Chicago attitude in that. I do. I'm not saying Jesus is from Chicago, but this is when I lived in Chicago, this was the attitude that you got. You ask somebody a question, they always treated you like you were dumb or something. What? Are you new or something? I told you. Jesus didn't do that, but he had told them, watch, "And you do not believe the works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep." And watch what happens. Watch what happens. Oh, I'm sorry. I already read it all. I didn't do the highlight thing for you. I just read straight through it. "You do not believe because you are not of my sheep." Here's my point to you. I told you, you don't believe. Here's my point. It's not that we don't hear. When it comes to spiritual things, we hear it. The problem is, we don't like what we hear. I'm just being honest with you. We don't like what we hear. When somebody brings something to me that I don't like, and they say something to me, you know, I'm a fellow pilgrim on the journey of life, and if I struggle with things, I imagine that some of you will as well. Here's what I do. Make excuses. Right? Look, if there's something about me that you don't like, there's a reason why I do it. And if I don't have a reason, I will make one up because I'm really good at it. A lot of experience. Strike out in anger. Ever happened to you? Forgive me. I am so sorry. Throat tickling there. Ever happened to you? You go to somebody, you care, and you're just talking, you're sharing your heart, and then they come at you. "Oh, you think you're better than me. You're this, you're that," right? I mean, this is one of those mechanisms that strike out, shut people down. don't want to deal with the real issue, do nothing or hide. Avoid the whole thing. These are the mechanisms that I typically use when somebody is coming to me that I don't necessarily want to hear from or am hearing from. Watch what happens here. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Guys, I want to give you a little emphasis here on that, because God's promise isn't like man's promise. You know what I mean? I mean, you ever had a warranty on an issue? Like, here, let me give you this warranty. I'll tell you right now, I was an air traffic controller prior to doing this, and I was in Salt Lake. And back then I could afford to buy things like a new car. We bought a new car, and I bought the bumper-to-bumper warranty on this new car, saying, man, I'm going to drive this thing till it dies. I want the warranty. It was within 2 weeks I got a flat tire. So I took that car back and said, I'd like to get the flat tire fixed. He said, fine, that'll be this much. And I said, no, you don't understand. I bought the bumper-to-bumper warranty, and the tire is in between the two bumpers. I did. And he said, no, you don't understand because you didn't read the fine print. And the fine print very clearly says we don't fix those kind of flats. We only fix flats on the bottom of the tire. That's a sidewall flat. You see, this is man's guarantee and warranty. Yeah, we'll give it to you, but that's not God. God said, no one will snatch them out of my hand. If you take anything with you today, take it. That's a guarantee. You love the Lord as nobody can take you out of His hand. By the way, no one includes you. No one can take you out of His hand. My Father who is given to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch Him out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. May I ask you, is that plain? Tell us plainly. Are you the Christ? Tell us plainly. Is that plain? Hello? Could you understand that? Do you think the people got what they wanted? They got what they wanted. They got the truth. But they didn't like the truth, did they? How did they respond? Thank you, Jesus. We have really been wondering about that. We are so thankful that you just told us straight, right? Is that what happened? You know what happened. You know the scripture. They picked up stones and they're going to kill them. And Jesus said to them, for what good work are you going to kill me for? And they're like, oh, we're not going to kill you for a good work. We're going to kill you because you being a man, make yourself out to be God. Guess what? They understood what he said. They didn't like it. It's not that we don't hear. We don't like what we hear. So, I'm going to ask you this morning, and I'm not just asking you, I'm asking me. Whose voice are we listening to? Because there are lots of voices that are speaking to us. And to me, we have to identify those voices if we truly want to be effective in dealing with this issue. So let's identify some of these voices. We're going to start with the media. To be blunt with you, this is my least favorite talk to give. I mean that. It's my least favorite talk. And it's hard to give. Because parents, you're not going to like me by the time this talk is done. And the young people, they're not going to like me either. This is not like the win a popularity contest talk. This is no fun talk. But it's something that we have to talk about. Internet. Do you know the amount of time that this younger generation is spending on the internet? Those secular source, according to the New York Times, those ages 8 to 18 spend 7.5 hours a day on smart devices. If you take into consideration the talking and texting that is added on top of that, that's 11 hours of media a day. This younger generation is spending 11 hours of media a day. Do you think it's having an impact? I'll ask you a simple question. Number two killer of teenage girls in America, the most Christian nation on the planet, more Christian shirts, Christian shoes, Christian wristbands, Christian, you name it, we got it, it's Christian. Number two killer of our teenage girls in America is... Hello? Suicide. Number two killer of teenage girls in America is suicide. Number one cause of suicide is depression and anxiety. Number one cause of anxiety and depression is Dr. Carolyn Leaf. I don't think she's Christian. I don't know. But it's not Christian publication. Teens are exposed to 8.5 hours on average of electronic media per day. According to the Archives of General Psychiatry, this increased simultaneous exposure to electronic media during the teenage years is associated with an increase in depression and anxiety. Do you understand, parent? If you have a child that is suffering from anxiety and depression, one of the leading causes of it is right here. If you have a child that is suffering from this, can I challenge you to take a look at this time before you start medicating? Is there a time where you need medication? Look, there's biological issues. Absolutely. This isn't biological. This is physical. Oh, but if I take it away, my child will get upset. Yeah. You better believe they will. You know why? Because it's as addicting as cocaine and alcohol. Don't trust me. Norway, the Bergen Facebook addiction scale was developed in response to research showing that addiction to social media is proven to cause the same damage in the brain as addiction to alcohol and cocaine and is as addictive as drugs, alcohol, and chemical substance abuse. Parent, grandparent, there's not a one of you in this room today that if you had a child that had a drug addiction or an alcohol addiction that you wouldn't do anything and everything that you could to get them on some program to detox them. We pay for the drug. We put it in their hand. And it's having an impact. I'm just being honest with you. Dislike me, but this is the truth. Every research shows this. Don't trust me. Here's another lady. You want to read something that will rock your world? Her name is Twinge, T-W-E-N-G-E. That's her last name. Do a search for Twinge and the book I, Jen. Just those letters because it's a 22-word title. Or no, it's not 22, but it's a lot of word title. And you don't need to... I, Jen, Twinge. 30 years of research. 30 years of research compiled into this one book. It will rock your world. How much is too much? At what point does the screen time start impacting real life? 3 hours of screen time a day increase the chance that a teen will be at risk for committing suicide. 3 hours a day. Three. And they're spending 11 hours of media a day? Huh. And it is having an impact. Take a listen. Rates of teen depression and suicide have skyrocketed since 2011. Guess what exploded in 2011? All this kind of stuff. It's not an exaggeration to describe iGen as being on the brink of the worst mental health crisis in decades. Much of this deterioration can be traced to their phones. There's compelling evidence that the devices we place in young people's hands are having profound effects on their lives and making them seriously unhappy. One of the ironies of iGen life is that despite spending far more time under the same roof as their parents, today's teens can hardly be said to be closer to their mothers and fathers than their predecessors were. Quote, I've seen my friends with their families. They don't talk to them, unquote, Athena told me. Quote, they just say, okay, okay, whatever, while they're on their phones. So they don't pay attention to their family, unquote. Like her peers, Athena is an expert at tuning out her parents so she can focus on her phone. Ever seen it? Ever experienced it? Walked into a restaurant, family of four sitting at a table and all four of them with a face stuck in a device and not a one of them talking to each other. And we wonder why 50 to 88% of the younger generation raised in the church are gone by the time they're age 18. Train up a child in the way they should go. I think I read that somewhere, right? If a child is getting 11 hours of media a day, who's doing the training? Be honest. It goes on, teens who spend more time than average on screen activities are more likely to be unhappy, and those who spend more time than average on non-screen activities are more likely to be happy. There's not a single exception. This isn't a Christian telling you this. If you were going to give advice for a happy adolescence based on this survey, it would be straightforward. Put down the phone, turn off the laptop, and do something, anything that does not involve a screen. I'll be honest with you. My children are 36 and 35. We've actually been married 37 years, Pastor Stephen. He said 36 in the first year, but I want to make sure we get that right because if somebody did the math. Okay? If I had teenage children today, if I had children under the age of teenage, they would not have a smartphone. They would have a phone that was so dumb, they would not be able to text on it. I'm serious because I want them to learn how to write. And R has an A and an E, and U has a Y and an O somewhere in there, okay? So, And when you come in this house with that dumb phone is not going into your room. Because parent and grandparent, think about this. You would not. There is not. I can't imagine that in this room, there's a parent or a grandparent that would let their child go into their bedroom with a stranger and spend the night with the doors locked. Would you? Yes, you do. Every time they walk in with this or anything else. You don't have a clue who they're with. But Carl, I mean, it's just the way it is anymore. It doesn't have to be. You have the power. You're the parent. But they'll sneak around. Okay, so I don't do anything because my children can sneak around on me. I don't understand that argument anywhere else. We wouldn't do that anywhere else. Well, I don't understand technology. Okay, so I'm not going to do anything. Look, as a minimum, try, if you're going to give them a smartphone, get something on there. I mean, Covenant Eyes. I sat through an extremely informative from the vice president who went through and told me all the tools that this thing has on there to help parents with it when it comes to these devices. Here's an option. It costs, I understand. Circle. Disney makes something worthwhile. Yeah. Circle. It's another one of those things. And they have Circle Go. If you're somebody like me that's on the road all the time, they have this where you can control it from wherever you are. And, here's a free version. We can't afford anything. A lady just told me about this a month ago. Qustodio. I don't even know how to pronounce it, but their website is whateverthatis.com. All right? It's a free version. You can do something. Well, they can go to their friends and do that. Okay, then what friends am I letting them hang out with? It's your job to be the parent. And sometimes we got to make tough calls. That's part of being a parent. But I put it to you like this. I actually have some parents who made the call, went through the battle, and then 3-4 months later, they contacted me and said, Carl, thank you. The attitude is completely and totally different once they were detoxed. And that's really what it is. Come to a camp with me sometime and watch these kids when you're out in a place where they can't get cell signal and watch the first couple days. Then after the third day, the fourth day, total difference. It's a voice. Acknowledge it. Deal with it. Television. This is a voice. Is it having an impact? The average American watches more than 5 hours of live television a day. By the way, the average young person spends 900 hours in the school. They spend 1,064 hours a year watching TV. Do you think that's having an impact? Yes, it is. And by the way, what are we watching? Interesting. Research that I did, I try to do this at the end of every year to, you know, keep up to date what's going on. The top show on demand in 2018 was a show called Game of Thrones. All right? I've never seen an episode, in full disclosure. And it ended this year, from what I understand, and set records of people watching it. And do you remember seeing what the big headlines were this year? Anybody remember how people were freaking out because there was a coffee cup? A Starbucks coffee cup. On the set, they didn't have Starbucks back then. Anybody remember seeing those headlines? Oh, it was like, oh, there's a coffee cup. They literally had to take it out digitally because people were freaking out. So there it is in the real one. There it is in the real one. And then guess what? The new one, they have to get rid of that. And there it is. It's gone. But then do you remember on one of the last episodes, they freaked out again because somebody left a plastic bottle. They didn't have Crystal Springs back then either. What's wrong with these guys? This is my favorite show of all time, most watched, and there's a plastic bottle in there. Ah! People freaking out. It's making the news. Headlines. And then I did research on this show. I've never seen an episode. So here's the research that I found, and I'm trying to be PG here, okay? This is a non-Christian writing, which gave me enough information that I would never watch an episode of it, because he wrote this. Rape has become so pervasive in the drama that it is almost background noise, a routine and unshocking occurrence. Okay, so headlines, people freaking out over coffee cups and plastic bottles. But that's okay. Where's the uproar from the ladies who are being diminished by this program? And where's the uproar over that? You're more wound up over a plastic bottle? This is where we are, guys. Oh, this is just entertainment. No, it is not. 2,888 out of 3,000 studies, direct quote, 2,888 out of 3,000 studies show that TV violence is a main cause in real life violence. 2,888 out of 3,000 studies. And we wonder why our culture is getting cruder and crasser and meaner. This is the record-setting television program we're filling ourselves with. And don't believe it's not in the church. Matthew 6, the eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Look, what you let in is going to work its way out. In one way or another, it's going to work its way out. 1 Corinthians, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Look, 11 hours of media a day, that is the company that you're keeping. Period. If we're allowing that to happen, that's the company that they're keeping. And God said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And I got to tell you, if I watch a program that just normalizes that act against a lady, that's wicked. Now I really get to upset some folks. Video games. Ooh, average time a child spends in school is 900 hours a year. Average time they spend watching TV is 1,064 hours a year. The average time they spend playing video games is 936 hours a year playing video games. Okay? My son and I think, he did. When we filmed our video series out here that Mr. Caleb was so kind to do, look, this is the talk that he did out here. You don't think that the video game messaging is impacting a generation? 936 hours a year. Look, if 2,888 out of 3,000 studies show that TV violence, which is passive, I'm just passively watching, is impacting real life violence, what do you think actually doing it is going to do? Because the video game isn't just passive. You name the character after yourself. You make the choices to do whatever you're going to do to whoever it is that you do it to. Guys, forget about violence though for a second. Let's just forget about violence. What my son brought to me rocked my world when he told me, he said, Dad, how is God, Jesus, Bible, and Christians depicted in top-selling video games? Because I didn't have a clue. By the way, his talk is out there. We do have it out there. I think I've actually got four of his books out there as well. Because parents, you need to know about this. I have parents come to me, grandparents come to me after this and say, you need to talk to my child about this. No, you need to talk to your child about this. That's the truth. Because if you're not going to talk to them and you're not going to enforce these things, nothing I say is going to have an impact. I should be reinforcing what you are teaching. That to me, ultimately, is what I should be doing, is reinforcing what you are teaching. And this other voice is coming in saying, see, we're not just nuts. There's other nuts out there. Assassin's Creed, one of the top played video games, period. And does it have any teachings in there other than violence and sex? Oh, yeah. Jesus didn't die on a cross. One of the side missions, you get to find out that, oh, Jesus didn't die on a cross. Hey, the assassins actually came in, pulled him off the cross. So that whole Jesus dying and resurrection thing, that's a bunch of malarkey. Or, how about this one? Poor old Charles Darwin. Man, those mean old Christians. Mean old Christians trying to kill Charles Darwin. The assassins have to protect Charlie D from those Christians because they're trying to kill him. Those Christians are killing the newsboys. And I'm not talking about the band. I'm talking about little boys selling newspapers. Those Christians are killing the newsboys because they're selling newspapers that have evolution in it. And so the Christians are killing the children. Hello? Look, I disagree with people that teach evolution. My goal in life isn't to kill them. It's to convert them. And I'm going to challenge them. But I'm not going to kill them. That's what we're called to do. Oh, by the way, we're not going to talk about Grand Theft Auto because that's sex and violence. And it's not having an impact anyway. Only 80 million copies have sold and made $3 billion. That's a side issue. That's nothing going on there. And by the way, one of the other top watched television programs, when you get done watching it, you can play it, The Walking Dead. And then you definitely get to choose what you do, who you do, how you do. But those are really fringe things, Carl. That's really graphic stuff. Okay, let's go to something safe. Anybody know what this is? Huh? What is it? Oh. You see who knows who this is? Parents, you got any of this stuff in the house? Five Nights at Freddy? I didn't know what this was. I just added this a week ago. Why? My daughter's a public school teacher. And she came to me and said, Dad, the elementary school kids, this is what they're bringing in and talking about. Elementary school kids. So what's this game all about? Didn't have a clue. Had to go do some research. Let me read what I found. The main antagonist of the series is William Afton, the co-founder owner of Fazbear Entertainment, as well as the CEO of Afton Robotics, LLC, the company behind Freddy Fazbear's Pizza. He is a serial killer who has murdered several children whose spirits now inhabit the animatronics. In the third game, it's revealed that he returned to Freddy Fazbear's Pizza after it closed down to dismantle the animatronics. This supposedly released the spirits of the children he murdered, scaring him into hiding in a spring lock suit, and he was crushed to death. He became Five Nights at Freddy's three main antagonists, Springtrap. Okay? And so this game is you get to be the night watchman, depending on which one you're playing, and you get to sit in there and you spend the night working cameras and stuff, trying to not get killed by the animatronics. And this is what the elementary school kids are playing. And this is what they are using to market it. Hello? These are cutesy stuffed little toys. We have backpacks. It's a mess. And parent, we would get this stuff for our children, not even know what it's really talking about. You better be careful. By the way, just got released within the last little bit here. Video game addiction is now officially a mental health disorder. World Health Organization has now classified it as a mental health disorder. It is having that big of an impact. You can't hide from this. You can't. My son came to me probably about 5 years ago now, and he said, Dad, I got rid of cable TV. What? I have cable TV. I'm watching The Voice. I'm guilty, all right? I'm like, why did you get rid of cable TV? Did I have to tell my 31-year-old son at that time, you need to get rid of cable TV, you got a problem? No. What did he do? This is what he did. I'm going to give this to you because he gave it to me. I did it. I don't like what I saw. He said, Dad, I took a sheet of paper, drew a line at the middle, line at the top. On the left side, time spent glorifying God. On the right, time spent in the world. And he said, for 1 week, I tracked what I did for 1 week. I was so proud of myself, Dad. 1 week, I had read the scripture for an hour and a half. I had prayed for an hour 1 week. I was really proud. And then I looked at the other side. I got a problem, Dad. Cable TV is gone. Parent, one of the greatest things that you can do is to teach your child to own their faith. If you have to be there in their 30s and tell them to quit watching TV, there's a problem. They have to own it. By the way, I did this. I didn't like what I saw. I had to make changes. I give it to you. Do it with your child. Don't make your child do it, not you do it. Do it with them. And see what comes up. It's a voice, and it's having an impact. How about this voice? Here's a voice. The news. Anybody remember Dear Abby? Remember Dear Abby? Hello? Yeah. Anybody under the age of like 30 doesn't know who that is. But she used to be a lady that you'd write in and ask questions and she would give you advice. Well, they have one of those in England and they call her Agony Aunt, and I can't do the British accent for you, but she is your aunt. She's your auntie and she can feel your pain because she's kind of like auntie. And so you can write her and, well, how do I deal with this? And she can help you. Agony Aunt was on TV and she was asked this question. Can a mother love their child so much that they choose to abort their child rather than to give it birth? Can a mother love their child so much that they choose to abort it rather than give it birth. And her response is very telling. And if you don't think worldview impacts the way that you live your life, ooh.
True, no, and I think that if I were a mother of a suffering child, I would be the first to want, I mean a deeply suffering child, I would be the first to want to put a pillow over its face.
Oh, okay, hold up. Can a mother love their child so much that they choose to abort it rather than to give it life? And the response is, yes, if I have a deeply suffering child, would you please pass the pillow? That's the first thing that's going to run through my mind? You don't think what you believe about where you come from impacts the way that you live your life and the decisions that you make in the real world? Where does this come from? Listen.
As I would with any suffering thing. And I think the difference is that my feeling of horror, suffering, is much greater than my feeling of getting rid of a couple of cells.
Do you understand that if there is no God, you are nothing more than a few cells? You aren't. You have no value. This letter that I got just last night, I told you about Bethany, I got a letter just last night, young man, most prestigious, largest Christian school in Florida, 3-year waiting list to get into it. Young man writes a letter why he's rejecting everything and his new morality. And this is the new morality. There is no God. You live, you die, you rot. There's nothing left. There's no reason to have to do these things. You are nothing more than a couple of cells. Do you understand that Hitler used that justification to kill the 6 million plus Jews that he killed? And he didn't just kill Jews. He killed his own people. He started with the mentally and physically handicapped, killing them off, and classified them. Oh, we have a documentary, if I'm not mistaken, on this, as useless eaters. Guys, do you understand that the philosophy has an impact on real world life? By the way, I hope we don't have any good mothers in here by her definition. Take a listen.
I'm sorry, I was just about to introduce another guest there, but that's a pretty horrifying thing.
What?
To say. You would put a pillow over.
Of course I would. If it was a child I really loved who was in agony, I think any good mother would.
I pray we don't have any good mothers in here by that definition. I led a group. I was blessed to be able to lead a group through Israel, and I read this sign at the Holocaust Museum. A country is not just what it does, it is also what it puts up with, what it tolerates. And to be blunt with you, we have tolerated far too long, Christian, the world teaching our children that their value is based on anything other than the fact that they are created in the image of God. They were fearfully, wonderfully made. They were literally knit together in their mother's womb. Their value has nothing to do with how pretty, how smart, how talented. Nothing. Their value is because they are created in the image of God. You lose that history. Welcome to America, 2019. How about this voice? Here's a voice. The family. That's the most important voice. Family. Well, let me give you some research by American Family and Crisis Research by Southern Baptist Council. They uncovered some disturbing facts. The majority of children in America have fewer than 10 minutes of significant, meaningful conversation with their parents each week. If you think in less than 10 minutes you're going to overcome 900 hours in a school, 1,064 watching TV, and 936 playing video games, you're sorely mistaken. Let me finish the quote. If you remove the mother, you can measure this statistic in seconds. And you wonder why I'm challenging men to be men. This is why. Men, when we abdicate our responsibility to train and educate our children to anybody, you're not going to like the outcome. You have to be engaged. I don't care who you allow to be the primary educator of your children, you've got to be engaged. So what do we do? You've got to get them back to the right voice. And that ultimately is the Word of God. And if we can't get them to be able to trust the Word of God, we're done. You see, guys, we've got to teach them how to approach the Word of God, how to use it, because if we don't, think of this, Road to Emmaus. Think of the Road to Emmaus here real quick, okay? road to Emmaus. Two guys that had been following Jesus. Jesus had told them that he was coming back at the third day. They didn't understand it, so they leave town the day that he's supposed to come back. They're on the road to Emmaus. Matter of fact, Jesus comes up to them, starts talking to them. They don't recognize him. Jesus asks them, what's wrong? What are you all talking about? And they approach him with that Chicago attitude. What, are you new or something? Are you the only one that's not been around Jerusalem? This is what it was supposed to be. This is who he was. It didn't work. We don't understand. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do for the people that had lost everything and just their whole world was gone? If we're a Christian, that means we're a Christ follower. I want you to watch what Christ did because I think this is an example that we can learn from. Everything's crazy. We don't understand. Watch Jesus. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. When everything gets crazy, you don't have a point from which to start to get back in control, we're done. He took them back to the beginning. Let me explain how it was in the beginning so that you can understand why it is the way that it is today. This isn't what I wanted. This is what I wanted. This is what I gave you. But in order to have that relationship with you, I've got to give you the opportunity to receive or reject. There's consequences to receiving, there's consequences to rejecting. We're living in the time of rejecting. And by the way, we've all rejected. We've all sinned. Carl, you don't understand. This community is so big, it's growing so fast, we're a tiny church, we can't reach them all. Wrong. Jesus Christ turned the world upside down with 12 people, and there's more than 12 in here today. When you just turn yourself over to him, you watch what he does through simple obedience. Remember Craig Wayne Boyd saying the old rugged cross? When they get done, they go to the judges and ask the judges for feedback. I want you to hear the feedback that he was given from a non-Christian. I'm not attacking him. He says, I do not believe Christ is the only way. I was raised in the church. I rejected all. I'm a universalist. His name is Pharrell Williams. Very popular in the culture. Take a listen to what this non-Christian said to Craig Wayne Boyd after he sang the old rugged cross.
Let's start with Pharrell. What'd you think?
Man, Craig, I get it, man. To God be the glory. I just... Going through everything that you've gone through, get yourself here at this place. I have a question for you. What does it feel like to be at the top of your game and to surrender it to God in front of the whole entire world?
That's a non-Christian. Is that an opportunity to preach the gospel? I got to wake you up because you're getting ready to leave. Is that an opportunity? Right? That's an opportunity. Would you like to hear how Craig Wayne Boyd responded? Fine, would you like to hear? I'm not going to show you. I am not. Because here's the point that I want to make to you. It doesn't matter how he responded. The question is, I'm not attacking you. Am I living my life in such a way that the lost would even think to ask me that question? Or have I become so good at blending in with the culture? They wouldn't even think to ask me that question. I'm not attacking you. These are the questions that I ask me. But I will finish by showing you somebody that did respond. A football player. Remember Ferguson, all the racial tension and the rioting? Remember all that? Benjamin Watson was on CNN and asked, how do we deal with it? And I'll let him talk.
How can we, black, white, whatever, improve this?
Well, I honestly think I point to it in the very last paragraph that I read. And I'm encouraged because things aren't the way they used to be. You know, we all have grandparents that told us how things were. We've all seen documentaries. We are definitely making progress. But I think on an individual, on a micro level, the issue is not really skin. The issue is sin. And I firmly believe that the issue is that internally we are flawed. Internally, we need salvation from our sin. Internally, our sin makes us prideful. It makes us judgmental. It makes us prejudiced, which leads to racism. It makes us lash out at people that don't look like us. It makes us look past evidence to protect people that look like us. It makes us do all those things. It makes us lash out in anger. It makes us point fingers. It makes us, our sin that's in us makes us do those things. And the only salvation for this sin is the gospel. The only way to really cure that what's on the inside is understanding that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And so to me, on a micro level, it's understanding.
Nope. Just like that, we lost him. I know, I heard you guys rapping. Benjamin Watson, thank you so much for the look at the game Sunday. I'm Brooke Baldwin. See you Monday. Jim Shuto, up next.
Man, I hate it when that happens. The signal just cut out. Guys, I know I went long. I apologize. The Methodists are going to beat us to the buffet, and I hate it when that happens. Hate it when that happens. They get the best chicken, man. It's the worst. But here's the point I want to give to you. Here's the point I want to give to you. If you go stand in this culture and you speak the truth in love, don't expect to get embraced. Expect to get cut off. Expect to get mocked. Expect to get ridiculed. But they're not rejecting you. They're not ridiculing you. They're ridiculing the one that has sent you. And if we don't love people enough to go speak the truth and face being called a name, how can we claim Christ as our Savior? I think you guys remember one of the other talks that I filmed here, 10 Things a Christian Can Learn on Evangelism from an Atheist. And Penn Jillette, the atheist, the ardent atheist, says, how much do you have to hate somebody to believe in everlasting life and not share it with them? And this is somebody who rejects us soundly. Can I encourage you to start even more ministries? Can I encourage you to jump on board with the ones that you've got going down to the ladies in Indianapolis that need to know there's another way? You've got great ministries going. Get engaged, man. This is not church sitting here on Sunday. Be the church. Father, I give it to you. You know my heart. I just give it to you and ask that you would do something through us. I pray for the folks here today, Lord, that don't know you. I challenge them, God. I pray that you're going to convict them. I do. I mean that, Lord. No peace until they turn it over to you. For those of us that love you, we need your help. We're not perfect. We're far from it, God. We need you. We need you day in, day out, second by second, to keep us on track. We are such a group of sheep. We can run all different directions, Lord. Be our shepherd. Draw us to you. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.